Like, I have a hard time buying Minnesota and the Giants. They each have one loss. The Giants are 6-1. Minnesota's 5-1. Maybe the record should tell me something, but I'm not quite buying yet. And I need Will to tell me whether or not those teams are legit or are they frauds. And here he is. There is Will Brinson, Pick Six podcast moderator. All right, my friend. We'll play a little fraud or legit in the first part of our conversation. And
I thought you were just calling me a fraud.
No. You are. You would definitely be in the legit category. And then in the second part of our conversation, we will talk about three possible, well, certainly two definite Hall of Famers, probably all three Hall of Fame quarterbacks that it's just not going well for this year. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So I'm going to try and do this in terms of the loss column. Between the Giants and the Vikings, who is real? Are they both real, or are neither of them real, or is one? Give me who you like of those two one-loss teams.
Well, I think the Vikings are a little more legit. I don't think either one of those teams is necessarily fraudulent. You and I were kind of texting about this last night. My theory on the – so first of all, the Vikings have been pretty good the last few years, right? They have been a little schizophrenic, I guess is maybe a way to describe them, in part and parcel because of Mike Zimmer's approach to offense, which has been – I don't like it unless I have to use it. In which case, I guess throw it to Justin Jefferson since the other team scored some points against the defense that I thought was going to be good. Now Kevin O'Connell's in there and he's being way more aggressive. Kirk Cousins knows his system because they work together in Washington. Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. Like these NFL systems, you know, if you have experience in them, it makes it a lot easier. They're leaning into Justin Jefferson. They're using Dalvin Cook in the receiving game. They're more aggressive. And defensively, they have the personnel there to actually be, like, fairly decent. The question was, would Ed Donatell and company get them coached up as well as Mike Zimmer had at various points of his tenure? Yeah, I don't necessarily think that the defense is elite per se. But I do think that this is a very, very good team and a team that's kind of flying under the radar in a pretty, not questionable NFC, but like a down NFC where the Rams and the Packers and the Bucks, who are three prohibitive favorites before the season, are not quite as good. As for the Giants, who, by the way, I'm believing my pal Will Newman, who just texted me this news, just traded Kadarius Toney to the Chiefs. Newman, I hope you're not wrong because it'll be embarrassing for you. Since you live in Raleigh. As for the Giants, I think that they remind me a lot of Sean McDermott's first year with the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
And that season, everyone agreed, 2017 Buffalo, right? Finished 9-7. Their expected win-loss based on their point differential was 6.4 wins. So like to win nine games when your expected win-loss is 6.4 means you had a great – you really overachieved.
Right.
You won a bunch of one-score games. Coaching probably elevated your roster to a better status than it would have been with average coaching or below-average coaching. And I think that's really important because if you look at who the Giants hired, it's Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. Joe Shane, the GM, Daboll, the coach, of course. Both guys from Buffalo. If the Bills were the baby Panthers, the Giants are the baby Bills.
Okay.
And I think if you're being coached up by Brian Daboll and you're winning games, these one score games, maybe you shouldn't be 6-1 or whatever, you know, like they probably shouldn't be there. But the fact that they are means that they have a very good coach. And so I wouldn't discount them. They're going to make the playoffs. Their expected win loss, by the way, is 4.1. So they're already two games above, you know,
they're going to win 12 games.
Right.
I mean, they're going to win 12 games.
Oh, they're going to the playoffs. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. They're not going to win the division. They're going to finish third in the division, I think. But they're going to win 12. The NFC East is going to look like the greatest division we've ever seen because the rest of the league is trash.
PFF's simulations had three NFC East teams going to the playoffs 77% of the time, which is wild.
I think I think two of the best.
Kadarius Toney. Actually, I shouldn't say that because everyone in my fantasy league listens to this show.
Well, good. I'm glad they do.
I'm going to pick up Kadarius Toney before they get to when they do it.
Maybe I'll do that too. Look, I think the Cowboys and the Eagles are two of the four best teams in the league, in the entire NFL. I think those two teams, they're the two best teams in the NFC, in my opinion, and I'll be surprised if that changes between now and the end of the year, unless injury sets in on both teams. After that, I think it's completely wide open for who could be the next best team. It might be the Giants because they're incredibly well coached, and it also could be the Giants because their schedule is papier-mâché. And I think that is driving a lot of these things. By the way, the Vikings' next five games. Here's how we'll find out about the Vikings. Arizona at home. I don't think that's a problem. At Washington, shouldn't be a problem. At Buffalo, home against Dallas, those are problems. And then, I know it's going to sound weird, but prime time for Kirk Cousins, been a wasteland. I think it's a Thursday night game.
Weird. That's a very factual statement.
It's very factual.
By the way, how about back-to-back revenge games for the Vikings? You got Patrick Peterson against the Cardinals this week, and then Kirby Cousins against. we call him Kirby on the podcast when he stinks.
Do you really?
But do you remember Bruce Allen, the old
president for the Washington football team.
The old artist formerly known as WFT president, when they were doing the negotiations with Cousins on his franchise, like the final like negotiations when it just wasn't working out, and he called him Kurt. He like purposely called him the wrong name, which is like so emblematic of everything Bruce Allen. He's like, you know, we think Kurt's a good player, but it's like, I'm sorry, just call him Kurt.
Yeah.
Like, he's been with your team for like, you drafted him. He's been there for like 5 years. You know his name.
Unbelievable. All right, let me throw a couple of more teams at you. Because I'm not sure anymore. I thought that the Ravens were really good. I'm a little surprised that they have given up more points than the Bengals. They're both 4-3. So, what do you make of the Ravens?
It's a difficult sort of analysis, I think, because they have been very good at times, and then they're the first. I believe they're the first team. Last week, they were the first team in NFL history to have double-digit leads in their first six games and not be above 500.
Right.
There's only 20 teams in. They're the 21st team, I think, in NFL history to have a double-digit lead in all seven of their games to start the season. They are 4-3. The rest of those teams, I believe, are like 135-5. So, like, that's concerning, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that they can get out to these leads. It's concerning that they give up these leads. Now, you could point to their performance last week and say, wow, you know, maybe the pass rush is starting to come along, Justin Houston picking it up. And if the pass rush gets a lot, can improve, this team can be really dangerous. But also over the last 4 weeks, Lamar Jackson's been terrible. Like, I think he has one game above 200 passing yards, hadn't been above 60% completions. You and I were peacocking around 3 weeks in the season about anyone who questioned Lamar before the year. And now, he was right there in the thick with Josh Allen, Mahomes, Jalen Hurts in terms of MVP race, and he is firmly not in the MVP race at this point.
Well, because they're 4-3. I don't think it's a lot about Lamar Jackson, even though he hasn't played as well. Every player goes through these pockets of whatever during the course of a season. I'm sure he'll get on a hot streak again here. But even when he was playing well, the Ravens are that team. They're either great or bad within the same game. And that has been their biggest problem. Like, they might be the best first half team in the entire NFL and one of, if not the worst, second half team in the NFL. All right, the Jets are 5-2. I think they're at best, they're meh. Tell me, how are they 5-2? Because their offense is terrible.
I don't want to. By the way, if you if you're a listener to the Pick Six podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL podcast,
the best which I moderate daily NFL podcast there is.
Yeah. We are Brady Quinn. 3 weeks ago, said on the show, he said, like, Jets fans, a little annoying. I get that you're 2-2. Okay. Well, like, get out of my mentions. I'll tell you what, I'll donate $1,000 to a charity for every Jets win the rest of the season. They're 3-0 since then. So I'd be like, maybe that's why they're good. If you're a listener or you haven't listened or you just start listening, you can tweet or DM me or leave a podcast. We have like five more charity people. Leave a podcast review and we're going to give away $1,000 for every win they have. And if you look at their wins, and we're sort of talking about this, they beat the Browns.
Beat the Browns.
Right, right. But anyway, that was like a once in a decade, once in two decades win, right? So that's a fluke. They got blown out by the Bengals. They beat the Steelers. I believe in that game, that's when Trubisky got benched.
Yes.
So you played a backup in that game.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you beat the Browns with a backup in Jacoby Brissett.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins, they played Teddy Bridgewater was hurt. It was out immediately.
Right.
So they played Skylar Thompson.
Yep.
They blew out the Dolphins in that game. The Packers, you went into Lambeau Field and your offense dropped 27 on.
Sort of.
Well, I mean, okay. Yeah.
They scored 27 points.
No one's going to question the win over the Packers in Lambeau Field.
No,
the Packers coming off a loss in London against the Giants.
Right.
And then last week they beat the Broncos and Brett Rippon.
Yeah.
So like the only win they have that's not against a backup quarterback is in Green Bay.
Right.
Yeah. And so look, wins are wins. You stack them, you save your job.
Yeah.
But the Jets are probably a little bit of a paper tiger.
100%. And like they have a fairly good chance of making the playoffs, although this will be a pretty interesting challenge for them against the Patriots this week.
Do you know the last time the Jets beat the Patriots?
The last time the Jets beat the Patriots, I actually don't know remember the last time the Jets beat the Patriots, unless it was a playoff game.
No, regular season. Would you like to guess the last time the Jets beat the Patriots in the regular season?
2016.
That's pretty far back, and that's still not far back enough.
Oh, my God. Good.
2015. Good. Yeah. Look, Belichick hates the Jets.
I know.
He hates them.
I know.
He's going to, and he just lost to the Bears on Monday Night Football. He's going to throttle them.
All right. We're going to talk about the Patriots. We're going to talk about the Packers, and we're going to talk about the Broncos. Three teams that are not where they thought they would be at the beginning of the season because they each have quarterbacks that are not playing the way they thought they would play at the beginning of the season. All right, Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. That's just part of the intro, but he is the moderator of the Pick Six podcast, the award-winning Pick Six podcast. Have you won awards?
We award nominated.
All right, good. You should win awards. All right,
almost won the award. I was going to have to get a tattoo if we won the award.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was kind of glad. I mean,
you don't want a tattoo.
Yeah, six or a half dozen. Like the award helps my career. Tattoo is permanently inked on my body. So. And listeners were going to get to pick, and they were advocating aggressively for a UNC logo on my back shoulder.
Oh, that would hurt.
So, yay, award nominated, not award winning.
Yes, that's good. All right, let's deal with these three teams. Rodgers and Brady have both been critical of their teams without really being critical of themselves over the last few days. Only Rodgers has taken flack. We're going to get to that in a second, but I want you to hear what Keyshawn Johnson had to say about Russell Wilson this morning. Yeah. Denver, by the way, is going over to London. They're going to play Jacksonville, right? It's the Broncos and the Jaguars.
And you can only watch it, just so you know. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, man, I can't wait till Sunday morning, you can only watch it on ESPN+.
Really?
Yeah. First ever.
Ever.
ESPN+ only game.
How about that? That's why they're paying all that money for the NFL. All right, here's Keyshawn Johnson on Russell Wilson and the team dynamic.
Just stop. Just stop with always telling somebody what you're doing and how you're doing it. Just be the quarterback of the team, man. Because when I think about it, and I like Russell, I like him a lot. I've interviewed him. I've been around him a bunch. But I don't need to hear that you worked out for 4 hours on a plane and you studied up the film and while everybody else was sleeping. Like, I don't need to hear those sort of things. It's not going to make me think, oh, God, you're doing everything right and nobody else is doing anything. They're just sitting on the plane and sleeping while you're so in tune with doing everything. Because what's going to happen, man, is the things that's happening to him now. People think he's phony. It's all an act. And it shouldn't be that way because he's a good football player when everything is going right. And I just hate to see this happening to him. And eventually, his teammates are going to start side-eyeing him if they haven't already.
Didn't that kind of happen in Seattle too, or no?
Yeah. Sometimes I think
so.
Look, Russ is a cornball, man. I mean, like he's goofy. He's become, it was like sort of, you know, like when he first got to Seattle, it was like, and look, like he goes to children's hospitals every week. Like he is philanthropic.
Yep.
He is well meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the interactions with, like, I mean, you heard the latest thing he did, right?
He did knee highs for 4 hours.
8 hours on a flight from Denver to London, stretching and exercising, including, and this is not like people are sourcing this or reporting this. Like, he told reporters what he did on the flight over there.
Yeah.
Including, according to Zach Stevens, I believe, out of Denver, but Russ said that he was doing knee highs down the aisle of the airplane while his teammates were sleeping.
Yes.
One, don't ever do knee highs on a plane. No, but not anywhere. With private jet, your plane, commercial, certainly not a commercial jet. You do that, you should be thrown in like some kind of like NATO prison for a while. Two, you know what you're doing when you say, I was doing knee highs while my teammates were asleep?
Yeah.
You are accidentally or passive. Maybe you're just one of those guys who likes to, like, was my teammates were asleep necessary in that descriptor?
No.
Maybe only so you could, like, justify why no one tackled you.
Right. Right.
Like, it's almost like all I can picture is like Russ finally sitting down after exercising for 3 hours. And he's like hitting the call button. And the steward is like, oh my gosh, what does this guy want? Finally gets back there. She's exasperated. And she's like, yes, Mr. Wilson. He's like, Hey, you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, but Jerry Judy's not wearing a seatbelt in aisle 14. what is this guy doing? Like, knee highs on an airplane. Just lay down and stretch your back out, man. Like, come on, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's like when he was out last year for Seattle and he had the hand injury, and they're playing on prime time, and he goes out on the field, and does the warm ups, like goes through the whole warm up process. It's like, dude, you're not playing.
You're not playing.
Stop it.
Yeah, I think Russell, we're barely going to have time for Brady and Rodgers right here. So I'll just, the Russell thing has been, he genuinely is that this way, and he has a hard time relating to teammates. And yep, that was the problem in Seattle. And it's, I don't know if it's a problem in Denver. Keyshawn obviously thinks it either is or is about to be. Very quickly, in 30 seconds. Which of the Packers or the Buccaneers? We know the Buccaneers are tied first and the Packers are 2.5 games out. But which of those teams is ultimately going to be the better team? Whether you think the Bucs will be the better team? Why?
Yeah, I mean, the Packers, unless the Packers go out and trade for somebody in before the deadline, like, they just don't have the receivers to operate what they want to operate. The defense isn't good enough and the run game hasn't been stout enough. The Bucs, on the other hand, if that offensive line improves, they've got a defense. Tom Brady's got some receivers. They can still win games, and let's not forget that they're in a division that is substantially worse than the one that Green Bay's in because of the aforementioned Minnesota Vikings.
No question about it. Will Brinson, you're the man. I appreciate your time. We'll talk to you Monday, my friend.
See you, man.